Turn face to the book of John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1136. Page 1136, we'll be reading verses 16 through 21. And these six verses we'll read responsively. The text verse for this morning's message being the 21st verse. And now shall we stand, please, as is our custom to do. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And let's pray. Father, what a great joy it is to know that we are possessors of the truth. Thank you for thy word. Bless in its preaching and tune our hearts to the preaching and the teaching of thy word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to divide that verse this morning for our thinking into these divisions. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's point one. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. That's number two. And will manifest myself to him. That's number three. I want to speak this morning on the subject, he loves me because I first loved him. You say, hold it, preacher. Hold it. Wait a minute. You mean we love him because he first loved us? No. No, I'm speaking this morning on the subject, he loves me because I first loved him. You say, now, preacher, 1 John 4:19 says that we love him because he first loved us. I understand that, and I heard you the first time. But I'm speaking this morning on the subject, he loves me because I first loved him. Would you give me your undivided attention? Our Heavenly Father, we enter into the subject of love. It's almost impossible to comprehend, and sometimes almost impossible to control our emotions as we think that God loves us. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. We marvel at thy grace and at thy love, a manifestation of that grace. Teach us this morning what thou hast for us, and from a great truth may we make great decisions, and from great decisions may we lead great lives, and from those great lives may we do great deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. Needless to say to those of you who've heard me preach even a few months, you've heard this oftentimes, and I'll use it this morning again, as I often do, as a springboard for my message today. My mother always taught me that Jesus loves me. I somehow didn't understand it, comprehend it, or maybe even believe it. as my mother would sit and tell me that Jesus loves me. I would sing as you did when you were a child, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And I don't care how many oratorios that folks will write, or how many times you sing to Handel's Messiah, the most profound song, as far as I'm concerned, ever written, is Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Then I would sing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow and black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. But somehow, as my mama would tell me neath the light of a kerosene lamp, beside the warmth of a wood stove, my mother would tell me, little two-room shack of a house, held up a bricks only the corner, son, Jesus loves you. It somehow never registered to me until one Sunday morning when we for the first time walked as mother and son into a Baptist church, Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. A little Sunday school teacher, and I won't go into all the story, you've heard it oftentimes, little Sunday school teacher placed me on a knee, and in front of 20 little boys and girls, all of whom had on shoes except me, all the boys had on nice little shirts and ties except me, all the little girls dressed nicely, Sunday school teacher placed me on her knee as a little 5-year-old lad, and she said, boys and girls, we have a visitor this morning. His name is Jackie Boy Hiles. She looked down at me and she said, Jackie Boy, did you know that Jesus loves you? Now, my mother told me that many times, but nobody else had ever told me. And I looked up at her and said the first words I'd said, Mrs. Bethel, does he love me as much as he loves the little boys and girls that have on shoes? And a tear escaped her eye and invaded my brow as she said, Jackie Boy, he probably loves you more than he loves anybody in this room this morning. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are many great truths in this book that I love, but the greatest is that Jesus loves me. There are many great doctrines of the Bible, profound doctrines, but the most profound doctrine of all is the doctrine that Jesus loves me. There are many wonderful things in the Word of God. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. But the most wonderful, wondrous truth in all the Bible is that Jesus loves me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And because of that love that Christ has for me, because Jesus loves me, I want to show my love to Him. And I want to love Him as He deserves to be loved. I want to reciprocate that marvelous love that God gives to me. Now, how may I show that love? I want to know what thing I can do in the Bible as the Bible speaks to me. I want to say, dear God, what is the best way for me to tell you that I love you? What is the best expression of my love? How is it that I can express to you I love you, and what type of expression would you want the most? And thank God He's made a way. His way is, as our text said a while ago, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Again He said, He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. So God has made a way whereby I can tell Him I love Him. And that way is by my keeping God's commandments. I do not show the love of God by gathering with others to sing of Him. I do not best show the love of God by endless toil in church work for Him. I do not show my love for God by lifting up my heart to worship Him. I do not best show my love for God by lifting my voice in praise of Him. I do not show my love to God best by telling others my love for Him. I do not show my love best for God by cultivating a spirit of emulating Him. I do not show my love best for God by attending a meeting to honor Him. But my Bible says that if I love Him, I'll keep His commandments. Dear Jesus, what can I do to show You my love? You can keep my commandments. What is the best thing I can do to express my love for You? The best thing is to keep my commandments. You know what really irritates me about modern theologians? I literally detest this thing about this is the dispensation of grace, and there was one time a dispensation of law. I dare anybody in this room this morning to show me anything in this Bible that ever says there ever was a dispensation of law. Well, the law, that's for the Old Testament. I dare anybody in this room this morning to show me where in the Bible, and you may show me in somebody's book, but show me in the Bible where the law was for the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, the same thing that the law, for which the law was given, when Moses got it from Mount Sinai and brought it down on the tablets of stone, those commandments that God gave us are just as valid today as they were the day that God gave them to Moses. And the law has not been done away with. I said the law has not been done away with. I said the law has not been done away with. But you say, preacher, are you trying to tell me that a person is saved for the keeping of the law? No, I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm trying to tell you this. I'm trying to tell you nobody was ever saved for the keeping of the law. It always has been the dispensation of grace. When Adam and Eve took those coats of skin made by God, and God gave them those coats of skin taken from the animal in Eden's garden, it was the dispensation of salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Calvary. When Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and offered his sacrifice to God, and Abel received salvation, it was the dispensation of the grace of God. Everybody who's ever lived, who's ever been saved, was saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith plus nothing, minus nothing. Faith in the finished work of Calvary. Now, you say, preacher, you're saying to me that the law today is still valid like it always was. Exactly so. Now, I believe with you what the law is for today. Now, the difference in us, I believe the law always was for the same purpose that it is today. God never gave the law so men could keep the commandments and be saved. God gave the commandments in order that sin might be more sinful. Man was a sinner, but God wanted man to know how sinful he was. And so God took His righteous law and put that law beside the life of man. And God said, look at your life. Now look at my law. Just like you would look at your speedometer and look at the sign that says speed limit 55 miles an hour. You may be going 75 miles an hour in 55 miles zone, but the sign reveals to you and reminds you that you're breaking the law. And God looked down and saw that man was sinful. And God said, I'm going to make sin more sinful. I'm going to you. The Bible speaks about it, and this is only by introduction, but the Bible speaks about it, the law as being a plumb line. A plumb line that hangs beside the building to show the building is crooked. You would not know the building is crooked unless you had the plumb line straightly hanging beside the building. The law was given as a mirror to show you your need of maybe washing or shaving. The law doesn't wash you. The law doesn't shave you. The law shows you your need of salvation. There never has been and never will be anybody in heaven who's there because of the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Everybody that goes to heaven receives his need for Jesus by attempting to keep the Ten Commandments, and as all of us do, totally failing in our effort, and it drives us to Calvary, and we say, dear Jesus, I cannot keep the law, and Jesus says, good, I kept it for you. And if you will receive me as your Savior, I will give you my righteousness, and I will impute to me your sin, and you will bear the righteousness of the Son of God Himself. Now, also, and here's the message, the law also was given not only
as a plumb line to show us our crookedness, or a mirror to show us our need of cleansing, or as an instrument to make sin more sinful. But the law was given in order that we may have a way or a means to say, Jesus, I love you. The best way in the world. You know, I get a little tired of folks making light of standards and making light of convictions and making light of giving up things of the world. Brother, that's the way you say, I love you, Jesus. A little lady gets married here. She says, always and forsaking all others. Let's change that and forsaking most others and see what the groom thinks about that. Suppose I said, now, will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? And will you forsake all others except Bill and Henry and Harry and Pete and George and John till death do us part? I do. You think the groom's going to say, boy, that makes me feel loved? Not at all. Not at all. But you see, while they were courting, she gave up George. And he said, I think she loves me more. She gave up Bill. And he says, I think she loves me more. She gave up Henry. He was sort of ugly anyway. I just made four Henrys mad here in the service. I know I did. And he says she loves him more. And finally she says, I'll give up all of them for you. And he says, now I know she really loves me. And as you come to Christ and trust him as your Savior, he shows you this thing. And you give that up. And Jesus says, he loves me more. And you give up this thing. And Jesus says, he loves me more. And you give up this thing. And Jesus says, he loves me more. And then you finally say, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And Jesus says, he loves me now. He loves me now. He's keeping my commandments, and that proves his love. But now, wait a minute. There's something in this verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Get this. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Did you see that? Did you see that? He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I shall love him. Is God telling me he won't love me till I love him? That's what it says right here. It says, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Say that. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Say it again. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. But 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Now this verse says, he loves us because we first love him. Now there's a problem here. 1 John 4:19, he loved us because he loved us, we love him. Now, in John 14:21, it says, if we love him, he loves us. Jesus said, if you love me, my Father will love you, and I will love you. Now, let's see if we can resolve this and reconcile these two passages. Now, listen carefully. Hear me carefully. Nobody talking. Listen carefully. First, God is love. God is love. Doesn't say God has love. Says God is love. God is the source of love. God is the reservoir of love. God is love. Number two, God has love. Number three, God loves me. Number four, I love God. Number five, he asked me to show my love. Number six, I keep his commandments and show my love. Number seven, he then loves me. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I thought he loved you back there at the first. He does. Hear me again. Follow me carefully now. This is worth listening to. If I say anything else after a while worth listening to, I'll tell you again. Wake you up again. Now listen carefully. God is love. That's back yonder, always has been. God is love. Number two, God has love. Number three, God loves me. Everybody here ought to shout, God loves me. God loves. And number two, I love him. Why? Because he loved me. I love him. Wait a minute. Then, I want to show my love to God. Then, I show my love by keeping his commandments. Then, he loves me. But now, wait a minute. Didn't he already love me? Yes, now listen carefully. God loved me before I loved him. And God loved me before I ever kept his commandments. But when I love God and keep God's commandments, then God's love begins to flow toward me. He loves me, but his love cannot flow toward me because I do not express my love for him. When God then sees me loving him, let me illustrate. Here's a young man. He walks down the halls of Howells Anderson College. This is Valentine's week. 16,000 of our kids have gotten engaged this week. He walks down the hall of Howells Anderson College, and he sees her. There she is. And he flips. And he flops. And it's love at first sight. Love at first smell. Whatever it is, it's love. It is love. He loves her. She says he says she's the one for me. Now, wait a minute. Does he walk up and say, I sure do love you. I've got you a box of Whitman's sampler. Doesn't do that at all. No. Because she'd slap him if he did. Or be expelled. Now, wait a minute. Does he love her? Yes, he loves her. But he has no avenue with which to show that love. And then one day, after prayer and fasting and pleading and perfume and every kind of an expression he can legally think about, she says, I love you too. Now, wait a minute. When she says, I love you, then all of a sudden, he has the ability, now he has the license and access to letting his love flow to her now. He can tell her. He can show her. And one day, they get married, and then all the expressions of love are his. He already had love for her, but he could not show that love for her. He could not let that love flow. And God said, I always loved you. But I couldn't show it like I wanted to. It couldn't flow to you like I wanted to. But now God said, when you love me, well, Lord, how do you know I love you? Because you keep my commandments. I don't care who you are, buddy. You drink your liquor. You don't love God. Now, you might be saved, but you don't love God. I don't care who you are. You don't come to church faithfully. You don't love God. Now, you might be saved, but you don't love God. Jesus says, he that loveth me keepeth my commandments. He that loveth me does what I say. You don't know, if you don't tithe, you don't love God. Oh, you say, I'm a Christian. You may be a Christian, and you may go to heaven. But if you don't tithe, you don't love God, because one of God's commandments is bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So how do I show him I love him? I show him I love him by keeping his commandments. And then, when I express that love to him, Jesus says, he loves me now, and his love flows to me. So, he loved me first. Then I loved him, and then he loved me. Let me paraphrase it. He had love for me first. I loved him and showed him my love. And then his love flowed to me in expressions that he could not give or use before I loved him and showed my love to him. Illustration. Here's a mother. A mother loves a child, loves a daughter, I say. And all mothers do love their children, of course, and the mother loves the daughter. But that daughter is a wayward daughter. She won't write home. She leaves home. She won't write home. Does that mean the mother doesn't love her anymore? Oh, no. It means the mother loves her maybe more than she ever did. And so the mother can't show her love. She can't reach out and take the daughter in her arms and hug her to her breast and say, I love you, sweetheart. She cannot take her down and buy her a nice new dress and say, I love you and I want to show you I love you. She loves her, but she's gone. The daughter is away from mom. The daughter's rebellious. She's run off from home. And she won't even write or call home. And the mother loves her. But the mother can't let that love flow. And then finally one day the daughter realizes the foolhardiness of her life and she picks up the phone and says, Mama, could I come home? And the mother says, can you come home? Is the ocean wide? Is God still alive? Of course you can come home. And the daughter comes home. And before the daughter even gets there, Mama's prepared her favorite meal. And she's got her a nice new dress and a pair of shoes. And she's got the house all prepared. And the daughter comes home, and the mother runs to the door and throws her arms around her daughter and says, "Honey, I love you." Did that mean she just loved her? No. That means she now can show her she loves you. And there's a great reservoir of love. God is love. And God wants to show you. He wants to let the flood tides of glory come in your soul this morning. But He can't do it because you don't keep His commandments. He can't do it because you have no standards. He can't do it because you've never given up anything for God. He has love for you. Wonderful story of love. God is love. Oh, love of God. How rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. And God says, "I love you. I love you. Let me show it. Let me show it." How can you show it? He said, "All right. You love me. You give me your life and receive me as your Savior. And then you show me that love by keeping commandments." I'll guarantee you, brother, this modern kind of Christianity, give up nothing, nothing is wrong. That's not Bible Christianity. No, it's not. He says, that's legalism. Say, the law was nailed to the cross. In the first place, I'd like for you to show me the Scripture that says that. Just look it up and read it to me. Show me the Scripture that says the law was nailed to the cross. Brother, if it was nailed to the cross, I took it off. If Jesus nailed to the cross, I took it off and I'm using it now to show Him how much I love Him. The law of God Almighty was never given to save a soul. It was given that we might know we're sinners, and it was given that we might use it to show God how much we love Him. And then it was also used as a spigot or a faucet to turn on the mighty gushing proof of the love of God. You say, "God hadn't been very good to me." You love Him enough and start keeping His commandments, and brother, He'll gush His goodness toward you. All He's waiting for you is to take the tool with which He's given you to show Him your love. That's what He says here. Good night. It's right here, word for word. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." Now there's a second and blessed thought here. And it says in closing, it says, not in my closing, but in His closing, it says, "and will manifest myself to him." Let me read the whole thing. Listen carefully. "He that hath my commandments, bless God, I have them, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Who loves me? Person that cries the most? No, he that hath my commandments and keeps them. Who is it that loves me? Person that goes to church the most? No, one that has my commandments and keeps them. Who is it that loves me? One that reads the Bible the most? No, one that has the commandments and keeps them. He loves me. And then it says, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." So, I love him. How do I show it? Keep his commandments. Then what happens? He shows his love to me, and the love of Christ is shown to me. Then what happens? Here's what it says. "And will manifest myself to him." That word "manifest" is the word apocalypse, which means I will unveil myself to him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But now, wait a minute. First, you turn from the things of this earth. The song got it backwards. Then say, we sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." No, let me put it this way. Turn your eyes away from things of this world. And then turn your eyes upon Jesus. He says, "He that keeps my commandments loves me, and my Father loves him, and I love him, and I will manifest myself to him." As I obey more of his commandments, he unveils himself more to me. As I obey this commandment, he says, "I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit, let you see more of me." Then I obey this commandment, and he says, "Okay, I'll pull the curtain back a little more." And I give up something else, I ought to give up my life, and he says, "Now you can get a better glimpse of me if you want to." And step by step, as I turn from the world, God unveils himself to me, and he manifests himself to me. Years ago, I was pastor of a country church. Had a fellow named Tommy Ford. He was one of my deacons, one of the best men I ever knew. His dear wife, Faye Ford, one of the finest women I ever knew. Tommy and Faye had a house, built a house out in the country. He was a sort of a farmer and a contractor, builder, too. They built a fence around that their big plot of ground there. And the fence about that far, space about that far between each picket. And just to keep the big animals out, that's all, keep people out, big fence. But one day I went out, I noticed that they had closed that fence up. And this little place about that big now. And I said, Tommy, why have you made the fence a lot closer? And he said, because we've cultivated the land now. There's something more precious in here now. He said, we've cultivated it. We not only want to keep the big animals out, we want to keep the little foxes out now. And so the fence, he said, we want less things out because the crop is here. And when I say, dear Jesus, I'll make the fence closer, he said, okay, then I'll let you see me more. I'll be more precious to you. I'll unveil myself to you. May I say this, and may I have your attention as I say it. I don't make any pretense at being a great Christian. And I'm not old enough yet to where I want to go to heaven on the next busload. But I'm old enough to where my hands are unprying just a little bit. I'm at the place now to where my fingers are getting a little looser and my grip is not quite as tight on earthly things. There's some people I'd like to see. The world is not as attractive as it used to be. Things don't mean as much as they once did. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not there yet. And Lord, don't take this wrong. I'm not there yet. But I'm at the place now where I understand how Mama felt. Because my fingers are just beginning to unpry a little bit. I'd like to hear Brother Roloff sing. I'd like to hear Ford Porter pray. I'd like to hear John Rice teach the Bible. I'd like to see him. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I don't feel much at home in this world anymore. World of sin, I'm so tired of it. World of sickness and disease, I'm weary of it. And may I say this without seeming pious, and I make no pretense at piety, or being an extra special Christian. But I'm getting mighty close to being ready to see him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. But until I see him, I can see him more while I'm here. How do I see him more? As I keep his commandments more. And as I let go here, and latch on over here. And every time, I know some of you folks, you understand this, you haven't even given up cussing yet. You can't understand. This old kind of Christianity. Oh, Hollywood and Pat Boone, I love Jesus and sing in the nightclub. That's not Bible Christianity. No. No, Bible Christianity is saying, dear God, what is it? What is it that keeps me from seeing your face more clearly? And God says this right here. I'll give it up, Lord says here. Look here. Take a bigger peek. And the veil's pulled back a little more. And I said, Lord, what else? He says, how about this over here? And I said, Lord, okay. And Lord, I'm not going to deal with you. I'll give it up if you let me just see you a little bit better. The Lord says, try it. I give it up. And he pulls the veil back a little more. And then I give something else up, and the veil's pulled back a little more. And then I keep more and more out of my life and see him better. You know, we got this little cheap kind of bargain basement Christianity that just wants to get to heaven. Don't you want to know him better? Don't you want to tell him you love him? Don't you want to prove it? Oh, I know. I'm a fanatic. I'm a nut and a fool, and I'm a legalist. I know all that. No, I'm not. I believe you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But I thank God He gave me the law. So I can take His wonderful law and His wonderful commandments, and I can say, dear God, let me show you I love you. Let me just show you. I just turned my back on one. Lord, what do you think? I think you love me more. I turned something else loose. What do you think, Lord? I think you love me more. Here's God's divine order. God is love. Him and now. God is love. God has love. God loves me. I want to love Him right. I ask Him how I can show my love to Him. He says, take my commandments and keep them. That'll prove your love to me. I keep His commandments and show my love. And then all of a sudden, I hate to use this terrible illustration. It's not real good. But you know what I hate? I hate ketchup bottles. I don't understand why, if we can get to the moon, we can't invent a better ketchup bottle. Turn it upside down, shake it, nothing comes out. Shake it again, nothing comes out. Hit it, nothing comes out. Hit it harder, and the whole thing comes out all over the room, squirts out everywhere. We can invent rockets that will go to the moon. Somebody invent a better ketchup bottle. But God's love is that way. It's in there. It wants to come out. It wants to manifest itself. God has so much He wants to do for you. We can't do it.
Why?
Because you won't get the bottle and stuff.
Well, how you do it?
Keep His commandments. That's what you do. Keep His commandments. And then when that His commandments are kept, brother, when you keep His commandments, all of a sudden the whole dike breaks and the dam is busted. And all of a sudden, like a flood tide, God says, I've got divine love, unspeakable, not understandable. Wide, wide is the ocean. Deep, deep is the sea. High, high is the highest sky. Is His love for me. And all the mighty, wonderful love of deity is unleashed toward me when I show Him I love Him and keep His commandments. And then because He, you know, may I say this, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but sometimes I want to get a knife and just open my heart up. Some of you would like to do the same thing. You'd get a knife, stick it in my heart. But I want to get a knife. I wish I could just open up my heart and say, look in here. I get criticized a lot. And not much of it really destroys me except two things. First, when folks say Hiles is a legalist and doesn't have love, I just want to say, let me show you. Look at here. Look at it. I want to show you how much I love you. And then somebody says, he's sort of shallow. I don't claim to be the deepest preacher in the world, but I tell you what, I stick in the Bible and I think a lot and I work at it. And I want to just take my heart and I want to say, look at it. Let me show you how much I love you. Let me show you. And that's what God says this morning. God says, I want to show it to you. I can't. I want my flood tides to pour out upon you. I want to let it just wide open and let you see the expressions of the love of deity. Let me do it. But I can't do it until you prove you love me. Lord, how can I prove I love you? Keeping my commandments. I will. And he said, okay, get ready. You're about to get drowned in a baptism of heavenly love. And then he says, also, you better put on your sunglasses too. Because I'm going to let you get a glimpse of me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Our Heavenly Father,
how great thou art. How matchless is thy name. How limitless is thy love. How marvelous are thy statutes. How wonderful is thy Son. How blessed is thy redemption. How amazing is thy grace. I pray this morning you'd help us to understand that we love you first, and then you love us actively.